Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here for Beers with Chad and Juggernaut Training Systems. Today, I drink Trustworthy Brewing Company's Showroom Ready Hazy IPA, and I talk about The Last Dance. If you haven't been watching The Last Dance, it's awesome. And the question I try and get to today is Michael Jordan a good teammate? What does it mean to be a good teammate and a good leader? So if you've watched The Last Dance, hopefully you enjoy this discussion. Today's episode is brought to you by Illumin Skin. You know, in an effort to stay 25 for life, like my beautiful girlfriend Marissa, trying to do a better job of taking care of the skin. So thankfully, Illumin sent me out some great products. My favorite is the moisturizing balm. So go check out lumenskin.com/juglife to support Illumin and support the show. And hopefully you enjoy this episode. Here we go.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here, Beers with Chad. Today, from Trustworthy Brewing Company, I'm drinking the Showroom Ready Hazy IPA out of Burbank, California. I didn't think when these hazy IPAs first started becoming a big thing, I didn't really expect myself to be that big a fan of them, but I certainly am. Well, not the best pour of my life there, but cheers to you fine folks out there. That is very, very good. So, like many of you, I am watching The Last Dance. The Last Dance is appointment viewing for me every Sunday evening. I'm looking forward to the last two episodes this upcoming week. And it's been this great nostalgic experience. You know, I'm only 33 years old, so I was, 12 years old when Michael Jordan retired. But that time, I played basketball, like travel teams, AAU, all that stuff, from when I think I was 8 years old till 13. So for, you know, his career, I was a huge basketball fan. That meant every, you know, NBA on NBC, every, you know, those Saturday morning games that they would have, NBA Inside Stuff with Ahmad Rashad, watching that all the time, Nerf Hoop on the door, hoop in the driveway, playing all day, watching SportsCenter, going out into my driveway, and trying to recreate all the cool moves that he would do. You know, tongue out, doing slam dunk contests on my Nerf door, trying to go up with one hand, switch it in the air to the other hand. I loved Michael Jordan when I was a kid, so it's been a fun thing watching all this stuff, and it's been really cool to see the maniacal, relentless competitor that Michael Jordan is. And, thank the Lord that the fine folks, Jason Hare and everyone who is making this movie, was able to push up the release to give us something to watch here during lockdown, because most of my viewing and listening right now is either The Last Dance or then sports talk people talking about The Last Dance and their reactions to it. And one of those discussions that I heard come up this week in a couple different places is the idea that, is Michael Jordan a good leader, or is Michael Jordan a good teammate? Because if you watched this last weekend, I don't remember if it was episode 7 or episode 8, that really focused on him, the way that he would push his teammates. And if you've read Playing for Keeps, which is a great book by David Halberstam about Michael Jordan, you see more of that there, about how, you know, Scottie Pippen was perceived to be this quiet, soft guy, and Michael Jordan pushed him, or maybe pulled him along to greatness. And that, you know, whether he's getting in fights with his teammates, he's punching Steve Kerr, but I guess Steve Kerr, you know, threw the first punch in that, a little overlooked part of that story. Or if he's just motherfucking these guys up and down, calling them hoes and all this stuff, he he was willing to do, and he broke down talking about this, that he made a sacrifice to do what was necessary to make his teammates better and to make their team successful. And that for him meant, you know, being an asshole. And there, of course, are different kinds of leaders, whether they're, you know, leaders as teammates, as coaches, as bosses, and they motivate through different means. And there's people who are successful through all of those means. But the idea and the discussion that I've heard coming up about is Michael Jordan a good teammate is a very interesting one to me, because the first thing you have to do is you have to define what is good. You know, is a good teammate someone who gets their teammates to win? Then yes, of course, Michael Jordan is the best teammate because he got his teammates to win the most. He got them to perform what appeared to be beyond their previous abilities. But as Michael Jordan was talking about it, and I can't remember which teammate this was specifically, but it was someone that he seemed to be very good friends with, and was just sort of like a nice, easygoing guy. And you could see this internal conflict that Michael Jordan was having in regards to, like, was it right to push this guy to be someone that he was not? That being aggressive, being, you know, this dog that Michael Jordan needed him to be, was not in his personality. He was a talented guy who was just sort of a nice guy and happy to be a pretty good basketball player. But Michael Jordan needed him to be more for the Bulls to succeed to their fullest. So if good equals effective, then certainly Michael Jordan is a great teammate and a great leader. But there are people who have tried to lead in the same way that Michael Jordan has, and they have not been as effective in the sense that their teams were not championship teams. And I don't remember if it was Colin Cowherd or Bill Simmons or whoever I heard talking about this, but they brought, I think it might have actually been Rich Eisen, that they brought up the example of Jimmy Butler. They're like, you know, Michael Jordan without winning is Jimmy Butler, basically meaning that Michael Jordan without winning is just a dick. You know, he's just an asshole to all of his teammates. So that Jimmy Butler in that in their example was not a good teammate because he was not being effective. You know, and then it begs the question, well, was there a better way? Could Michael Jordan have even been better somehow? Though I don't know how that would really be quantifiable, if he would have taken a different approach to pushing or pulling his teammates along to greatness that wasn't, you know, physically pushing them, punching them, yelling at them, belittling them. It's everyone, every leader is going to have their own. Here's the cold hard truth, guys. Your skin has needs, and if you want to look as good as possible for as long as possible, you need to address them now. We get it. You might not know where to start. I definitely didn't. But there's a company that's taken all the guesswork out of it for you, Lumen. Lumen is on a mission to help give men the amazing skin they deserve through high-quality, expert-created products delivered right to your door. All their products are formulated specifically for men's skin and made to target skin issues with maximum efficacy using top-notch ingredients like charcoal, green tea extract, and vitamin C. I can tell you my skin has been feeling great from using Lumen, and it has only taken me a couple minutes at each night, so you can't make the excuse that you're too busy. It's not just about looking good, it's about feeling good. You need good skin health, especially as you get older, to prevent long-term damage. I'm trying to stay looking 25 for life to keep up with my ageless girlfriend, and my favorite product for doing that is the moisturizing balm. The charcoal mask is great. It's all great. It's easy. Just takes a couple minutes. So even if you have no idea where to begin, Lumen makes it so easy to find the right skin management system for you. You can choose from different skin concerns to address or just pick up a simple starter pack for free. You deserve to look and feel your best, and here's where to start. Go to lumenskin.com/juglife to get 1 month free trial of everything you need to start your skincare journey at home. That's lumenskin.com/juglife to get your first month free. lumenskin.com/juglife. You know, their own personality in that. And that's, I think, something that Phil Jackson, the coach of the Bulls and then later the Lakers, seemed to be so incredibly effective at, was his emotional intelligence that he understood Michael Jordan needed to be coached one way, Scottie Pippen needed to be coached another way, Dennis Rodman needed to be coached another way, Shaq one way, Kobe one way, and finding the best way to do that for each person. And as coaches, you know, that's a great challenge. My friend Brett Bartholomew in his book Conscious Coaching talks about that and in his podcast The Art of Coaching. So I would highly suggest that if you're interested in learning more about, you know, how to figure out what those different athletes need and adjust your approach to each of them, you should definitely go check out Brett's stuff. When you saw Michael Jordan, you know, break down in tears, talking about the sacrifice that he had to make to, you know, to be this leader for his team, and when he said, you know, the people who question that they haven't won shit, so he's not interested in their opinion. I love that Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan all the time in every situation, and he does not make apology for it. It's been a very refreshing thing to see in a world that is filled with you know, hedged bets and apologies and not wanting to offend. He is unapologetically Michael Jordan. But as he broke down in this sort of conflict of, did he do things the right way? Was it right to push these guys out of their personality? It reminded me of a conversation that I got to have about probably 13 years ago with a coach named Bob Latticer. And Bob Latticer was the head coach at De La Salle High School for some 25 or 30 years. And if you're familiar with De La Salle, the movie When the Game Stands Tall, the book version of that is better, but isn't it almost always? De La Salle did not lose a high school football game for 12 years. They won 151 games in a row. It's a small Jesuit all-boys school in Concord, California, kind of inland a bit from Oakland. And they did a lot of that winning with athletes who did not seem very impressive, with offensive and defensive lines that averaged 215, 220 pounds, and especially through the latter years of that streak, were going to beat teams like Long Beach Poly and Mater Dei, and, you know, these best teams in the country, guys, teams with, you know, multiple 275, 300-pound linemen, five-star players all over, and De La Salle did it through, you know, discipline, grit, of course, some very talented players like Maurice Jones-Drew and DJ Williams, but their toughness was certainly their signature. And, you know, I spent 2 weeks with De La Salle my second year of college. When I was finishing up the year at Berkeley, I'd stopped doing track. At this point, I was getting ready to transfer from Cal Berkeley down to Southern California and knew that I was going to begin coaching high school football. So I went every day for 2 weeks to De La Salle to observe their spring football practice, to talk to Coach Latticer, to their defense coordinator, Terry Edson, to their offensive line coach, who's now their head coach, Justin Allenbaugh, to see how De La Salle does it. Because to me, they were so interesting because they were so attainable in a sense that I knew at the high school that I went to and later coached at, we were never going to have, you know, a bunch of 250, 270-pound high school offensive linemen. We weren't going to have these guys running 4.4 40s or these great track stars. We were going to have to do it through system, through discipline, through hard work, that just talent would certainly not be enough. And De La Salle seemed like an attainable model to that effect. So one of the conversations I had with him and one of the questions I asked to Coach Ladd was, how do you instill toughness in your players? Because from watching them play, from watching them practice, these were clearly very tough, very disciplined, very willing to stick their face in another high school player's chest, you know, to go up against guys who were outweighing them by 50 or 100 pounds. And Coach Latticer expressed the same kind of, you know, internal dilemma that Michael Jordan seemed to be struggling with in one of those last episodes of The Last Dance, that he told me, he said, you know, all of the way that they talk to the players and you know, the drills that they use and the attitude that they instill, he felt conflicted about that because he said, you know, I'm just not sure if it's the right thing to do sometimes to take some of these kids who are maybe just kind of gentler, you know, not aggressive people and make them aggressive for the sake of success in football. And I'm not here to tell you if it's right or wrong. I just think it's a very interesting idea that, you know, people as great as Michael Jordan and as Bob Lattiser have this struggle, because it all relates to this idea of what is good. Because if good just equals success at any cost, then of course Michael Jordan was doing it the right way. And of course Coach Ladd is doing it the right way. And Coach Ladd was instilling so many great life lessons in this. I don't think that there would be any way to say that pretty much anything he did as a coach was not good. But there are other examples out there of this too. In the business world, someone like Steve Jobs, who's just a notorious asshole and, you know, berating and belittling his employees, but it was effective in building, you know, the highest valued company in the world, you know, in creating all of these, this great technology. I got to be around, and if you've seen in the past couple episodes, a kid named Johnny Stanton and River Craycraft that I had on, who are both in the NFL now. I've coached them since high school, and as they were coming out of high school into college, I prepared them to go to college. They had played at a high school called Santa Margarita, a private school here in Orange County, won a state championship, were ranked number one in the country, and their coach, Harry Welch, was extremely successful on, you know, not quite to the level of Bob Lattiser, but state champion, multiple time CIF champion, and by all accounts, was a huge asshole. There's actually things that he did that when I heard them, and I'm not, you know, soft about this kind of stuff, I actually thought that may be child abuse, what these guys were describing, but it got results. So it was certainly effective, but was it good? That's sort of up to you to decide. At one of the other schools in their conference, a school called Jay Sarah, their coach at the time was a guy named Jim Hartigan. And Jim Hartigan was very similar personality to Harry Welch, and from all accounts that I'd heard, very similar approach to the players, but they didn't win. So was Harry Welch a good coach and Jim Hartigan a bad coach, or good leaders or bad leaders, or good motivators or bad motivators? Because they used very, very similar tactics, but one of them was successful, one of them was not. Is that the measure of effectiveness? Are there so many other factors to consider with that? So that was, you know, it was just sort of an interesting take that I'd had from watching The Last Dance, which I've enjoyed so much. I can't wait until these next ones. I'm sure that I'll watch them all through another 2, 3, who knows how many times over the years. I've seen most of the 30 for 30s more times than I care to admit. But if you want to go a couple episodes back and check out my top 10 favorite 30 for 30s, please do that. This was Beers with Chad. Make sure check out jtsstrength.com for Juggernaut apparel, AI coaching, all that stuff, our one-on-one coaching, and you know, subscribe to the Juggernaut YouTube podcast, all that good stuff. You can use JTS10 for 10% off from Virus International, and CWS to save from RP on things like the RP Diet app. Cheers. This is Beers with Chad. We'll see you next time.